The Coach Peggy Show, all things wellness with Coach Peggy Wilms. How many people in your life have told you you're half of this or half of that? Have you settled for less than being all? Well, no more. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. I am Coach Peggy, and I'm telling you we are about all things wellness. My mission is to clarify wellness is not just nutrition and fitness. This show is about all things wellness, and you deserve it. It's about your money, about your lifestyle, your beliefs, and even romance. We bust through your comfort zone and we're going to redefine your boundaries. We're going to extinguish your excuses and raise the bar to all things possible. It is time to use your ATM. You know, all things mindset. We're going to be bold and we're going to be badass. We're never going to be half in. So welcome to All Things Wellness. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Coach Peggy Show. I am Coach Peggy. Happy Tuesday. Love is in the air. Valentine's Day is right around the corner. I am so excited. I want you to think about a loved one, or maybe you're your own loved one, or a new loved one. And so my guest today, this is a perfect timing to have him on the show. And, you know, we're all about wellness and well-being. That's what I do for all these years. And so when I started this new show, I have all these different dimensions, right, in my wellness wheel. So we go 24 spokes deep. This guy meets a bunch of them. Can't even tell you how excited I am. So Miguel is actually my first guest on my brand new show. So I usually lead with a quote. So before I read you his bio, I actually took one of his quotes, which is actually his tagline he uses. But here you go. When the two become one, we are home. Miguel, that's beautiful.
Thank you.
Look at you just absorb your own little words. How cute are you right now? So listen, Zach, pop up if you could that spoke for us, that wheel for you guys that are watching. So I've got four quadrants. It's heart, spirit, mind, and body. And we go really deep with those, okay? It's not just nutrition or exercise. Let me tell you, we're here. Miguel's going to hit relationships, belief, faith, growth, development, values, passion. The story goes on. So let me talk to you about his bio real quick. He is very, very unique. This is not his first rodeo. He's been around a hot minute. So he holds qualifications in teaching and counseling and coaching. But his most important qualifications to me are the 20 years of personal spiritual practice and deep commitment to healing, right? Those profound traumas that we have in ourselves as a baby, young boy, young, I'm sure into manhood all the way up. So his personal experiences, his journey, fragmentation, all those depression, dis-ease. He is here to share his personal journey, but you guys are going to relate. I am telling you, you're going to relate to this. And Miguel, you can't write a story like this without living it. So welcome from the UK, Miguel Dean.
Thank you very much, Peggy. Thank you. Thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here. And all those, all those interesting things that you shared about me, because it's, you know, we kind of get into the moment and this is where we are. And yeah, sometimes it's good to just to remember where I came from and the crazy journey that I've traveled to be here today.
You know, that's funny. When somebody else talks about us, it's usually to someone else. And often when they talk to someone else, that's when we wish we could hear all those beautiful accolades of all the things that we've done. And you've done it all. I've researched you. I've stalked you. I've researched you. So I'm excited to have you share your stories. So listen, I don't know if you, I know you realized this because it's in your darn book, but on, I can't even remember what specific page it was, but as I was reading it and I was thinking about bringing you on the show this week, I was like reading and the male character looks down in the bottom right of his laptop without realizing it's February 14th. So when you're writing in the book, it's actually about the date that we're upon. So
timing. Yeah.
Isn't it interesting timing?
Yeah, there was a lot of synchronicity, you know, as you're aware, in that book. Just what I like to call it magic, you know, stuff that we can't really get our head around. But yeah, it was riddled with magic. And yeah, and I guess my life has been riddled with magic as well, you know.
It has. And so I thought, you know, Bring Him Home is a very unique book. You took a very unique twist instead of just this autobiography that is just bullet points of this is me and this is what happened. And now I'm going to take you through all these lessons and you can do a workbook now and discover yourself. It really is deceiving when you read what the book is about and you pick it up and you're very surprised about the characters and the pleasantly surprised. So you guys, before, when we were doing an outtake, getting ready for the commercial to come on, and I said to Miguel, I said, this is like a Harlequin romance. I mean, this book like had me captivated. I said, Peggy, this is a horrible UK accent. Peggy, I don't even know what a Harlequin romance book is. For those of you who are American or maybe abroad, you do know that. And it's a love story. And it's written really beautifully. Can you tell us how we're chatting today, what your journey was that got you? I know we can't go through all of your years, but kind of what got you started? What happened with your mama, maybe?
Yeah. Okay. Mama died when I was about 7 months old. She was pretty ill for the first 7 months, you know, while I was around, while she was around. And then she wasn't around anymore. I was looked after then by my auntie for about a year. My dad remarried, and then I was reunited with my brothers and sisters and my dad and my new stepmom. And then my stepmom had her own child with my father when I was about five. So the reason I just kind of bunched that all together and is because, you know, by the time I was 5 years old, I'd suffered three sort of major traumas of losing three mothers. Because when my stepmother gave birth to her own child, something changed in her and she became quite angry and abusive and violent. And we were treated very differently to her son. So there was this kind of rejection and sort of, you know, from there as well. So there was, you know, three times big trauma, losing the divine feminine, losing mother, losing the embodiment of love. And, you know, long story short, that led to very low self-esteem. I was kind of in fight and flight, really, for the, you know, my whole childhood, scared of when my stepmom was going to sort of, you know, kick off again. Eventually left home, sort of felt like escaping, sort of. I mean, I was 18 when I left home. It was like, that was when we were allowed to leave home, you know. It was like, you're allowed to go now. And I couldn't get far away quick enough, really. But you know how it works, our unconscious, what's going on in the unconscious. And because I had very low self-worth, I didn't think I would amount to anything. And I thought I was unlovable. I attracted that kind of life to me to reflect that back. So I fell into a shadowy world of drugs and violence and petty crime and homelessness. I sort of spent about 7 years on the road as a sort of new age traveler. Bits of that time were spent begging on the streets. Wow. It was a pretty chaotic time, really. And I get, when I look back, I can see that I was, you know, continuing, there was nobody there to abuse me or neglect me. So I continued to do that to myself.
Exactly. You were trained.
Yeah, I was well trained. So fast forward to when I was about 28, my first son was born on the road. And I hoped that would make me feel better. I was pretty depressed. I was in a bad way. The drugs weren't working anymore, as in the drugs weren't suppressing all the emotional pain and stuff, which unconsciously was why I was, you know, got so hooked on drugs. And the birth of my son just made things worse because it was kind of like I lost my mummy again, like my girlfriend, my, you know, his mom. All of a sudden she was giving all her energy to this to my son. So that felt like another rejection. And so my trauma was kind of re-triggered. And yeah, you know, one day feeling I'd probably be better to walk away from this situation and just leave them, because I was just bringing nothing but negativity, you know, to the table. I went and saw a counselor as a last resort. You know, it was like, okay, either I walk away or I try this one last thing. And this counselor, which I eventually found, although I had no faith in the process, it was just, you know, my back was to the wall. All these light bulbs went on. I began for the first time talking about my childhood, and for the first time could sort of became aware of how I'd been living was connected to what had happened to me as a child. You know, that was the first time I became aware of it. Somebody began listening to me for the first time. Somebody cared for the first time. Somebody was asking questions, and somebody was saying, what you experienced, you know, isn't kind of normal, like, you know. And
it's,
I was really puzzled to begin with. It was like, oh right, wow, okay, is that so? It's all I'd known, you know. So, you know, I suppose I really need to, the light bulb moments, get married, move into a house. I need somewhere safe. I've got work to do inside myself. You know, for the first time, I became aware of that. And I also realized that perhaps I have some value. Perhaps I could do what this counselor has done for me. And I went back to school, you know, I went to college and started doing some counseling qualifications. And I got married to show some commitment to my son and my partner, and moved into a house. And because you need somewhere safe, you know, if you're going to start doing this digging around and work. So the next, if we skip over the next 20 years, really, were sort of, you know, marriage, divorce after about 15 years. And then a couple of long-term relationships. And the same sort of pattern was happening at the end of the relationships, really. And it took me a little while to realize, but what was going on was I was expecting my partner to complete me to be a sort of salve for this mother trauma that I was still carrying inside myself. And after the end of the, so there was the marriage, two other sort of 3-4 year relationships. You see, every time a relationship ended, every time somebody, it just re-triggered this trauma.
Absolutely. So
I was just in, you know, always in pieces, and it took me months to recover. And I didn't realize that all this child stuff was woven in, you know, into my grieving process at the end of the relationship. But towards the end of the third one, I kind of realized what was going on. I kind of had an inkling. I didn't know the depth of it, but I said to life, I'm ready. You know, I'm ready. I can't do this anymore. You know, I don't want to carry this. I can't go into another relationship, you know, with the fear that it's going to end in this extremely painful way again. So, you know, my sword is in the ground. No more fighting, no more running, no more avoiding. Whatever it is, bring it on. I will do the work. I'm ready to set myself free of this once and for all. And I expected then, you know, that I would be single, because I've been a bit of a serial monogamist, really. You know, I'd kind of gone from one relationship to the other. But life said, okay, if you're ready, we'll bring you the perfect person that will, you know, that will catalyze, that will trigger, that will facilitate the healing and transformation process that you need to go through. And that brings us to the beginning of Bring Him Home, a twin flame love story. That was when this amazing woman showed up in my life.
So, oh my gosh. See, you're just mesmerizing. Look at me. Just, oh, tell the whole thing. So when you started to connect those dots, because even in my industry, you know, whether you're a coach or a physician or a counselor or in your own journey, that's some of the hardest thing, that is the hardest thing to do. So if I'm working with someone, I'm looking for those dots. I'm looking to go deep. And when I'm working on me, it takes a long time to find there are even any dots. So it took you a while, obviously, and we've got this repetitive pattern. So did you sit in that and you went boom, 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 here's 5 or 6? And because it is pretty remarkable you flipped it around, buddy. I mean, you went from homelessness to house to thinking relationships, you were going to be single to deserving.
Mm.
That's a lot of work.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Peggy. It was, there's all sorts of factors, you know. For the first 10 years, probably from about 30 to 40, I read, you know, loads of stuff, and I went on all sorts of spiritual retreats and workshops. I was hungry to learn and, you know, and try and work this out. I knew that there was stuff that, you know, that I needed to resolve within myself. So I, you know, I was a voracious learner. And then I guess the next 10 years were more experiential. You know, it's like the first 10 years were the theory, and then it was, you know, sort of matching up the, you know, the theory with the practical, if you like. Right. And I'm a pretty stubborn, self orientated kind of person. You know, I don't like giving my power away. Although I support others and facilitate others, I'm also big on, you know, you've got to do the work, and there may be other people that will ease the process, but I feel that there's a lot of people that just want somebody else to fix them.
Right.
And I guess, you know, just my whole upbringing and my years of living on the road and so on, I'd learned to be pretty self-contained. And so I'd become very self-aware, you know, through going through the process.
I bet. That I've been through. You'd have to get where you are.
Yeah, the mindfulness, the understanding my own process, the making that journey from the head back to the heart and beginning to feel the emotions. There were all sorts of kind of coincidences that happened. You know, I found myself back in my body. You know, I re-entered my body through dance and through Tai Chi, but there wasn't a conscious decision of that. I now know that the body, to a large extent, and the heart is the doorway to healing and transformation, but we have to have the courage, you know, to go back to the heart, which we left behind because there was so much pain and trauma there, so that when we revisit it, the first thing we revisit is all that pain and trauma. Right. I didn't consciously know that's what I was doing. But
so when you led into one of the things that you talk about in the book is the unconscious and the conscious relationship. I mean, that's really that's what you were doing towards the end in your healing. It was just trying to build.
Yeah.
Oh, that's within me. And oh, that, you know, I'm reading about that and I'm trying to marry these fragments together.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was very much a case of just becoming more conscious, really. And but, you know, the thing is that the thing that always gets in the way of consciousness, it seems to me, is emotion. So when all a load of emotion and we're triggered comes up, you know, it's like a fog, it's like a cloud, and we can be really self-aware and really kind of centered and grounded. But when your trauma gets triggered, you know, and this was happening, you know, through the book, it was like there was this terrified little boy within me that was, you know, and then there was this really conscious man. And, right. You know, gradually by standing in the fire, if you like, and daring to feel that trauma and be with it rather than getting stoned or getting busy or avoiding it, you know, that more and more the man in me could sort of soothe the little boy and reassure him, you know, and say, look, hey, this is all right. This isn't about what's happening now. We are emptying out the trauma, the feelings that we weren't able to express and feel then.
I strongly believe I never used to say this. I came from the era of coaching where we said, knowledge is everything, you know, be aware. It's crap because knowledge isn't everything. And we'd have everything fixed and you and I wouldn't be in business or chatting because we're pretty smart people, but it's that emotion that hiccups that knowledge, even if we have good habits and meditation and Tai Chi every day, that just puts us back to that 2-year-old in the crib that's been abandoned or whatever the trauma is.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I always say knowledge isn't power. It's the application of knowledge that is power.
Very good.
You know, we have to live it, don't we? And walk it and practice it. And, you know, and the emotion can throw us off the track for a little while, but, you know, with strength and perseverance and commitment, we just pick ourselves back up and we keep coming back. And every time it gets a little bit easier because we're kind of deleting some of those old neural pathways, some of those loops that have been going around in the unconscious, you know?
Rewriting the instruction manual. There's a better page to go to each time. What do you think are the main struggles in a relationship, either within yourself or with others, wherever you want to go off road with that?
Well, you know, they're both the same in a way, isn't it? Because the relationship that we have with ourselves is kind of mirrored by the relationship that we have with others.
Yes.
You know, where I'm judging myself, where I'm judging my partner, you know, it's because I'm being judgmental of myself, where, you know, over and over and over. So I guess the biggest challenge really is to keep owning our stuff and not projecting, and it's never about what our partner does or says. It's about how we interpret what they do and say, and how that touches an unresolved or an unhealed wound within ourselves. So, you know, ultimately, if you can turn it round, which is always a work in progress, and you know, I certainly haven't mastered this. I'm doing a lot better. But instead of blaming when the other person upsets us, it's saying thank you to the other person, because you have illuminated something within me that I need to resolve and I need to sort out myself.
That is so true. And so true and hard. I've trying really hard. It is difficult and challenging. What I've tried to recognize in about the last year is when those same subjects keep coming up. So it's like, you know, especially when it's integrity and value and those really gross things where it's like, you know, because I'm a workaholic. So it's like, I will judge other people. And, you know, and when I was growing up, it was like, if you weren't busy, like, what are you doing? Like, what are you producing? What are you doing? Like, just don't sit there and be. So I'll look at others and go, well, what are they doing working 8 hours a day? Like, you have things. So when I see a subject come up and up of judging others, really, I'm just telling myself, you know, that's a tough skill to do, to be able to look at me critiquing somebody else and go, thank you. Thank you, partner, for mirroring my own stuff.
Well, my story, of course, you know, with my partner, with my twin flame, what she did so beautifully was she kept closing down. She kept shut. She would shut down emotionally, or, you know, or she would physically leave.
Yes.
And that was the perfect conditions. You know, she just reconstructed, recreated exactly the same conditions of being abandoned and being left when I was a child. So, you know, the man in me is going, my girlfriend just needs to chill out for a bit and she needs a bit of space. You have been a bit full on recently, Miguel, or whatever. And the little boy in me is going,
what can I do? Desperate to hang on to. Oh my gosh.
So
Well, we're going to come back because this is so much fun. And Zach's going to take us to commercial. And you guys, you are listening to the Coach Couch and Coffee. See how habit that is? That was my last show. The Coach Peggy Show. See how quickly I forget that I've evolved, Miguel? Oh, my goodness sakes alive. When we come back, we're going to do our lightning round and chat more with Miguel. So stay tuned.
We remember a time when you could simply form a thought and it would manifest. The harmony was forgotten, but it is returning now. The Power of Inspiration and Awakening Radio with Julia Griffin on TransformationTalkRadio.com each second and fourth Wednesday at 9 a.m. Pacific will take you on adventures through the heart and spirit, exploring who we once were. This intuitive healer studied under the guidance of wolves, learning from their wisdom to master a higher frequency for a new state of mind. Visit OneTrueSelf.com.
Living a richly abundant life sound too good to be true? Listen in to Richly Abundant Women with Julie Steelman on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Embrace a vibrant future of breaking free financially and creating a richly abundant life filled with prosperity and growth. To learn more about Julie Steelman and Richly Abundant Women, visit www.juliesteelman.com.
many times do you find yourself saying, it was nothing, or just doing my job, when really you knocked it out of the park? How did you get like this? Next time someone tells you, great job, you'll know how to accept it and not deflect it by listening to Courage to be Seen Radio with host Sherry Clark. Sherry Clark is an experienced global engineering leader, coach, and mentor. From her experiences one-on-one coaching to corporate consulting and executive coaching, Sherry has learned many women need at least three things to discover and face success. Learn about the ACES program, how to survive male-dominated fields with grace and authenticity, and reach the top without ever once giving up on who you are. Courage to be Seen host Sherry Clark explores the awesome power of your entire self and how far you can go by being more you. Check out her website, couragetobeseen.com. You have the courage to be seen. See you later.
Hey, you guys, welcome back to the Coach Peggy Show. I am here with Miguel Dean, who has written an amazing book, Bring Him Home. And he is so much fun. And I'm not just pushing a book. You know how I am. I read my books. It takes a while. I have an hour show every single week, Tuesday nights at 6 p.m. Eastern. But I am not bringing a guest on just to bring a guest on. I look at who they are, what they align with me. I don't bring on somebody that doesn't align or teach me or will teach you. So my buddy here, I felt like we just somehow collided in this universe to chat. So I go into a lightning round now, Miguel. So don't be nervous. It's not like you're going to be struck by lightning. But this year, I wanted to really make sure that we connect as human beings in a community and we get to know each other. So how my listeners and viewers can get to know you better is for me to ask you just some crazy questions. You just give me one answer or one sentence. So I have three for you. Okay. Are you ready?
Okay. Yeah.
As a child, what was the first thing you wanted to be when you grew up?
I wanted to be a Native American Indian and live, you know, on the land and live naturally and go hunting. And that was freedom for me.
Oh my gosh. What age were you when you were thinking about that? Do you remember?
Probably sort of 10-ish, my guess would be, something around that. I love that, awesome. You know, I love watching the American Westerns, but always the ones where the cowboys lost and the Native Indians won. Yeah,
That's so like you. I wanted to be a zoologist.
Okay.
Makes no sense whatsoever. I don't have any clue. I think it was because it was cool and I learned how to spell it. I don't know. All right, next question. A funny or an intelligent partner?
What's the first bit?
What would you choose, a funny or an intelligent partner?
Oh, wow, that's a tricky one. It's tricky because it depends how you define intelligence, because my understanding is that there are lots of different types of intelligence. Mm-hmm. So as long as it was kind of a kinesthetic sort of intelligence and a kind of intelligence that was body smart and that was intrapersonal and interpersonal, then I'll go for intelligence.
Oh, I love that. Yeah. See, I have to go for intelligence because I have strong masculine energy and I want to get stuff done. Right. I don't have time to sit and watch. And I thought, well, I could teach an intelligent person maybe how to be funny. I thought, Peggy, good God. Okay. So one thing that you will never do again. That's your last lightning round question. What is one thing that you're like, oh, I'm never doing that again?
I am never going to get involved in a relationship with a woman that is emotionally unavailable.
Gorgeous. I love that. I didn't even pick these to be right down your lane, but see how amazing that is when you have a question like these questions, they relate to whomever. Mm-hmm. See?
Good
question. Okay, you survived.
Yeah.
You survived. Good job, buddy. All right, so let's spend some time talking about what do you think when we are in a relationship, either brand new or one that we're in right now, that is one of the most important things to be aware of, either to grow it or it needs, you know, it needs improvement, or to celebrate it? What are your thoughts?
Okay. I think what comes up for me on that one is that to remember that the success of a relationship is not really dependent on how long it lasts, but on how much we learn and grow, and how deep the relationship, you know, how deep the places that the relationship takes us within ourselves, as much as, you know, within each other. Because, you know, I think there's a lot of, I think it puts unnecessary pressure, you know, this kind of idea that to be a successful relationship, you have to stay together forever.
That's what I was just going to ask you.
You know?
Yeah, good point. It doesn't have to be forever. It needs to be really strong for now, which nobody wants to hear that, of course.
It's just about, yeah, it's about what you learn and what you grow. Because, you know, let's face it, there are loads of relationships. I think, my parents' generation, you know, that where they stay together, but they were so miserable, and it probably would have been better for the kids if they hadn't stayed together.
So true.
So, yeah, you know, don't feel that. And I guess connected with that is that just because it's challenging, it doesn't mean that you're doing it wrong. Sometimes, you know, because it's not the sort of Hollywood, it's all lovely and skippy and rainbows. And, you know, sometimes if it's really challenging and there's stuff coming up, that can be a really good sign. You know, that's because the primary focus concern of a relationship is to consolidate the relationship within yourself. We can only love another to the extent that we love ourselves, and our partner will show us those areas where we need to love ourselves more, where we're still carrying wounds or trauma or whatever.
I think there are three huge disservices in life. Actually, I think there's four. And that's not getting to our children soon enough to teach them about how to eat well, how to move and take care of their body, how to cope with finances, heal, you know, whatever finances looks like for anyone, and relationships. Because if we said what you just said to our children, it doesn't have to be Cinderella, and challenges are going to teach you blank, blank. And you even give them scenarios. Hypothetically, if your parents were to divorce and you observed blank, what would you be learning from it? I mean, if we could teach our children that, I mean, that's what you do. You work with youth and men and women. How do we get to these kids? How can we talk to kids that are, you know, products of divorce and all the things you've been exposed to?
Yeah, I guess we just do, you know, we do our bit, don't we? And that's why, you know, I worked with disadvantaged kids for about 20 years. You know, I still do some youth mentoring. But, you know, what I realized was that it was working at the level of effect. You know, I was kind of dealing with the kids that were already messed up by dysfunctional homes and so on. And so that was really what kind of like led me into, you know, I began exploring, well, what, you know, how can I make a bigger impact? And so I began working at the level of, you know, of cause, you know, where are the seeds? Where do these disadvantaged, disaffected, messed up kids, you know, how do they get grown? And it's because of essentially it goes back to the relationship between man and woman.
Yes.
To love. And if we take that even deeper on a spiritual level, it comes down to the twin flame dynamic of the masculine and feminine within us. When we balance and we consolidate the union of the masculine and feminine within us, you know, can you imagine two parents that have achieved that, or that are well on the way to that, or are conscious of that? Then they give birth to a child. Then, you know, what sort of environment is that child going to grow in? And that is how we, for me, that is how we break the cycle, really.
That balance. That's right. That's right. So let's say the parents that are out there that are listening and they're going through some tough times in their relationship, because we tend to get super focused. We don't even realize people are learning from us and watching us sometimes as parents. And I've been divorced, have kids that were exposed to that. Mm. How might any of our listeners or viewers go, okay, stop, pause, I'm going through all of this. How is it possibly affecting my children? I mean, what might be some steps to be able to look at our children or even our niece and nephew and figure out how to be of service to what they're being exposed to?
Yeah. So I think there's a couple of things that come to mind. One is, you know, don't put the kids in the middle. Don't use them as leverage. You know, that's just so, you know, so destructive. You know, I tried to, and I think we did a pretty good job, you know, when me and my wife separated, you know, I made a commitment that my sons would be as minimally affected as possible. And we've always maintained a pretty good relationship. Like, you know, there was no messiness. There was no nastiness. I've never said anything negative about her, you know, around the kids or generally, really. I think one of the other things is listen, you know, give space to listen to our kids or to be somebody that can listen, you know, that will listen to them, you know, let them speak and not assume that we need to tell them how it is or tell them how to be or whatever, just to be receptive to however they're feeling.
That's good.
And there was another one that I was just was on the tip of my tongue. Unconditional love, you know, just practicing as best we can loving our kids unconditionally. Which is such a tricky one, you know. I mean, I know it scarred me deeply. It's like, if you know, if you're a good boy, then you get some love, or you get some scraps from the table of love. But if you do what triggers me, or what I don't like, or what society says you're not supposed to do, then you get, you know, all the your emotional needs, you know, cut off. There is none of that. So just to kind of think, well, what is unconditional love? And, you know, how can I love my children unconditionally? Awesome. Which doesn't mean that we let them misbehave and so on. There need to be boundaries, and that's part of unconditional love, is boundaries and some discipline and structure. But within that, you know, there's a kind of fairness and a, because, you know, let's face it, our children are souls, you know, they're infinite souls in young bodies, I believe. So there is a wisdom and an awareness that we are speaking to. And, you know, not, I think we forget that sometimes and
we're molding it. I mean, we have a responsibility. It really is.
Yeah. So not to underestimate the wisdom of our children. And, you know, often children behave more wisely than adults, you know, because if you like, they're closer to God, you know, they haven't come. You know, they haven't had such a big gap where they've been conditioned and molded and by society and constructed and so on, you know. So, yeah, you know, let's respect and honor the children. Yeah,
I like that. So, you know, how are people going to find you? I want, first of all, the best way that you like people to find you, because your website's beautiful. It really is. And it explains you are so diverse in the things that you offer. I mean, whether it's a blog or a podcast or even the children's book that you wrote, what is it, Mouse and Apples or Mouse and the Apples?
Yeah, okay. Little Mouse and the Apples. Thank you. Yeah.
Seriously. And you offer, you know, seminars and webinars and all of those things. But what's the best way for them to reach out to you? Is it website? Is it email?
Yeah, well, there are three. Email's good, which is just, you know, loveinaction@migueldean.co.uk. The website, migueldean.net, you know, there's a contact form on there and there's all sorts of stuff, free, you know, free resources on there. And Facebook, I'm not big on social media, but I do focus just on the one, really, on Facebook. So that's, I have good. A Facebook, Miguel Dean Sacred Masculine is the best page to find me, because the other one's pretty full up, my sort of personal page.
That's good.
Yeah, you know, I love to hear from people and to connect. And yeah, you know, I'm not some sort of celebrity that, oh, you can't, you know, I can't possibly write to Miguel. Right. And, you know, I'm not like that. I'm very human, and it's what nourishes me is the interaction with people that are interested in my work.
That's amazing. And if anybody wants to reach out to me, anything that, even if sometimes questions will come at me that were for a guest, that I can get enough compiled to have just you back with an open forum. That's always fun. So you guys can always find me at peggy@allthingswellness.com. I want you to leave us with a thought, kind of a call to action. So what would be a message or a call to action that you would say in your infinite wisdom that you wish either males or females out there would take if they had to take an action today to improve themselves or their relationships? What would you give us a tip on today?
I would say find one small thing that you will do consistently, maybe daily, but you will keep doing it. And it is something that you love, something that you, that makes you feel good. Because my experience is, you know, people ask me, how did you get from begging on the streets to where you are today? Mm-hmm. And I always say, it is small things consistently done that result in massive changes.
That's really good.
So the key thing is to keep doing it. Just find something that honors yourself, that loves you, you know, that is a message to yourself of, you're worth something. You know, I value you. I value me. Just find something, whether it's 5 minutes meditation or.
That's what I was just going to ask you. Now you need to tell me what your thing is. What are one of the things you do to honor yourself every day? You knew, yeah. I was going to go there.
Okay. Well, I do my Tai Chi. I do my Tai Chi each morning because that makes me feel good. I walk every day. In nature, that's a really important thing for me. That's kind of my meditation as well.
Beautiful.
There are lots of things that I do, you know, there are lots of things.
That's your lane, and you've embedded those. And I thank you for doing what you do. And I really do believe that you are making a social change. And I hope that you take advantage of the forums out there to share your story and not tell yourself it's not a worthy story, because it very much is. I think that we need to relate to people like you and live through you and learn from each other, because we are one. We really are.
We certainly are. Thank you so much, Peggy, for I feel topped up myself. Thank you for your kindness and thank you for the work that you're doing. You know, when we all do a little bit, we all contribute a little bit. Again, it results in big changes, and there's big changes coming on this planet,
right.
and we're part of that. So, hallelujah!
Very exciting. All right, well, we're going to stay in touch. So, you guys, reach out to me if you need to find Miguel, and we will be back at you real shortly. We're going to take a commercial. You're listening to the Coach Peggy Show. Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L., on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
It's time to shake out your money-making truth on Soul Wisdom Abundance with Jennifer Bloom, creating wealth from spiritual health on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show is more than your roadmap to success. It's your compass to abundance through joy and ease. Jennifer Bloom teaches you about the soul's relationship to money and wealth and how improving that relationship serves both you and the world. Learn more at JenniferBloom.com.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host Tanis McRae is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
Do you need a makeover on your finances? Do you have more month at the end of your money? Do you wonder where all your money goes? Donette Palmore has been helping people since 2015 gain control of money so they can live out their purpose. If you need help or know someone that does, go to proverbsfinancialcoaching.com to book your free 30-minute consultation.
Hey, welcome back to the Coach Peggy Show. Did you guys not have a blast with Mr. Dean? He's a fun guy. He has so many things that he's done in his life. I really do encourage you to find him on social media or his website. You know, relationships are a really big deal. They're important to all of us and we can learn so many things. I think one of the things that he said that really resonated with me is to look at those things as a lesson and to look at those things that we're either complaining about or harping at somebody about are probably things we're mirroring and we need to kind of pay attention to in ourselves and to love our children and our friends, damn it. Just love them unconditionally and go, life is short. Things are happening every single day. So I'm asking you guys to take action today. Do something nice. It's Valentine's week. Have some chocolate. All right, so it is time for fad or for real. Let's talk about a fad out there today, or what people might think is a fad. It's actually something that I have tried. So have you heard about the Flex Belt? You know you have the Flex Belt. And again, I want to just share with you, this is my personal opinion. This, I'm not being paid from anyone to share any of this stuff with you. I do not want to be sued. Freedom of speech here. So I'm just sharing my experience when I do fad or for real. So the Flex Belt is that Velcro-y thing, right? You put it around you. It has those sticky adhesive things that stick on your abs and it's going to make you look gorgeous and have a six pack and you're going to look so sexy on the beach. Well, so when my clients start talking about it, I got to reach out the old credit card and buy something and figure it out. So I got the Flex Belt. This was about a year or so ago. Well, I was an idiot because, duh, I'm allergic to adhesive, but I didn't figure that out until I had some blisters on my stomach. Anyway, let me share. So is this a fad or is it for real? So I'm going to go with the for real on this. I know. Sit down. I know. So it's about $200-ish. And you have to get the pads, which are like $14.99 or something. And I can be pretty frugal, so I was careful, and I'd put them back on their little, whatever it's called, cellophane thing or whatever, and I'd reuse them. I don't know what the reuse recommendation is. But anyway, you put it on, and it's based on this stimulation. So it does this stimulation and contraction of your abdominals. Now, you can have a bunch of subcutaneous fat or a big belly because it's got to kind of get to that muscle to contract it and to, you know, let go and to stimulate it. And you have your dials. You've seen this, you know, speed up the dials, make it more powerful. Ooh, and it would literally bend me forward in a massive contraction. So the deal with these things, however, that you get used to it, you're cranking up the dial, can be very painful. You need to move the pads around. You need to do it consistently, extensive amount of time, but it is stimulating the muscle. It is like doing crunches, right? Would I recommend it to you to say, hey, that's going to give you your six pack and that's going to save the day and you don't have to go to the gym? Absolutely not. It's not going to give you your six pack. Is it a nice frosting on the cupcake for maybe your core routine? Sure. It's still going to be diet, nutrition, obviously, it's the deal on getting the abdominal fat down. Water retention can make you be really big in the front. You need to look at your fitness level, your cardio, your body composition. If you have high body fat, you know, it's going to be hard to see your core. I do have clients that have really strong cores, strong back, strong core, but they still have a lot of, you know, abdominal fat. So we got to get that down in order to see your abs. Doesn't mean I don't want you to work your core. That's important to keep your structural, you know, your back and everything in place so that you don't hurt, you know. So this is the deal I would say. I guess I'll go with a yay, but only if you realize it's kind of an extra and it's not going to save the day and you move those pads around. But okie dokie. I also said, I think I'm getting sick of my blue nail polish. That's what I'm looking at. If you guys are wondering why I'm pausing, if you're just listening, I said I would share some personal answers. I have people sending me personal questions. So I'm reaching out, trying to get a little bit more open and raw and real with you about my life. So I have some questions I want to share with you. And I pulled out some Valentine's type love questions that came at me. One is kind of similar to the one I had on last week's show that came at me from Brian, who is a friend of mine since first grade. This one's coming from Matt. It's a little bit of a different spin. Brian wanted to know, how did I open my heart again? Matt actually wants to know, he just had a breakup, and he was really mature in this breakup. I do know some of the details of this breakup, and he just wants to know, how does he not slide backwards? He's kind of had snap on a love focused holiday, so it's even super. It can be really tough to have a breakup at this time of year. So here are some suggestions that I give with, you know, I actually gave to him, talked to him, and I'm going to give it to you guys. First of all, recognize if you're mourning too long with a loss, okay? And some of those signs can simply be, are you pulling away from people for extended periods of time? Not answering the door, not listening, not answering the phone. How's your personal hygiene? That's always a really good one. I mean, you can go without a shower for like, I don't know how many days is your norm, but if that's extended, let's see what else. Over or under eating is always a good one to kind of monitor if the time has been really, really long that you're maybe mourning. I hate to put a time frame. That's one of the things I told Matt, is that everybody grieves or has a loss for different periods of time. I don't want to ever tell somebody to get over something in a week. It could take a year for his heart to try to mend is the word I'm looking for, mend back together. If you're avoiding work, that's another thing, calling in sick. So here's some suggestions. How do you get real with what just happened? Were there any red flags? I always say this is a good one. Were there any red flags that you maybe missed where you contributed, because it takes people to make or break a relationship? So were there any red flags you missed along the way that you could have done a better job or tried to communicate and kind of save it? There aren't. I would gave him caution to not talk trash about her, not put her down, especially in social media, not post anything you will regret, because it's always out there. Think about your employer. Would you be embarrassed if you were behaving in a manner and your employer saw it? What about your future children? Would that be embarrassing? And, you know, think about how you would like to be treated in this. So the main thing is go through those, feel the feels. People, breaking up is hard to do. And eventually, I think the best part to do this is we fell in love when we saw something. They saw something amazing in us and we saw something amazing in them. So look at the good times. And eventually, if you can, look back at maybe some of the pictures if it was, you know, a good time. Because if you don't heal through the good and the bad of a relationship, you're going to take that crap forward and you're going to find the same types of relationships. And just is what it is. All right, that's my advice on that one. So let me tell you about some shows coming up next week on the 18th. I have got Kat Canabas. Name is so hard to say sometimes. Canabas. She's been on Dr. Oz, NBC, The Doctor Show, all those fun things, written several books. She's going to talk to us about chaos to clarity. I want you to email me, and I'm going to post this on social media as well. She is fantastic about interpreting dreams. And so she had breast cancer 3 times and actually had some dreams about it coming and things that happened. So if you have any dreams you are having consistently where something is happening, I want to hear about it, because we are going to talk to her about it. That's next Tuesday, the 18th. 25th, Lynn Riley, professional counselor, observer, life in general. She wrote a book, 30 Days to Me. The great how-to guide on personal awareness and some action steps. And then Bonnie McLean is on March 3rd. Going to talk to her about integrative medicine, the best of both worlds, science, medical technology, healing, all of that fun stuff, East and West. So you guys can always catch me. My podcasts are live on Transformation Talk Radio. You can also find them on my radio tab at allthingswellness.com. My YouTube channel has the visuals of this live on Facebook as well. Thank you for joining me today. You have been listening to The Coach Peggy Show, and I will see you next Tuesday, 6 Eastern. Take care, you guys. You've been listening to The Coach Peggy Show, All Things Wellness, with me, Coach Peggy Wilms. Tune in every Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where I talk all things wellness. We help you truly understand all things wellness, and it's not just a diet. We get bold, we get badass, and we never go half in. For more information or to connect with me, go visit allthingswellness.com.